8 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany, sort of. I'm David Hein of Hein News. 208. Do the math. Divided by 52. That means that this week is the 4-year anniversary. Crazy to think that this thing's been going for 4 years. Thank you to everybody who's been helping along the way. Thank you, obviously, to all of the listeners. Without you guys, it really wouldn't be a show. And it's a huge commitment, and I'm really thankful that you guys are out there and enjoying the show. And just 4 years, incredible thought. And was thinking about doing a bigger bash, but actually things have gotten in the way and really haven't been able to put together the other interviews that I had been hoping to do. So just have a couple of nice talks this week, and something that we haven't really talked about all that much this week, the Basketball Champions League. But before we do that, I take care of the housekeeping. If you want to reach us, best way is on Twitter, and that's Hein News, HEINNEWS. That's my handle. The Facebook group is Taking the Charge Podcast. Go ahead and just put that Taking the Charge Podcast in the search, and you will find us. The website is HeinNews.com. And the email address is heinnews@gmx.de. Also, rate, review the show on iTunes. It'd be fantastic. If you want to support the show, say, hey, well, you know, Dave's been going 4 years on this. I think I want to pledge some support. Go to patreon.com, patreon.com/ Taking the Charge, all one word, and you can pledge your support as little as $1 a month or more if you would like. And there are perks along the way. One person who has really want to say give a shout out to Norbert Opitz for pledging his support to the show. Thank you very much, Norbert, again. There's a couple things I wanted to talk about before. I'm actually, when this show comes out, I'm actually on vacation, which is why I'm recording this on Thursday, September the 1st. I don't mind giving it away. There's still plenty of news that I want to talk about before we get to the interviews this week. The qualifiers for FIBA EuroBasket 2017... have started. I mentioned it on the show last week that they would be starting actually that day. The first game day of games are have been played. And by the time the podcast, between now and the time the podcast actually comes out, there will be one more group of games. And then on the day of the podcast, so Wednesday is the third day of games. So you might not listen to this until actually after three game days of games. But going back and looking at the first day of games, couple of surprises, I guess. I think actually the first game of the qualifiers was Russia and Bosnia Herzegovina, and just the fact that Russia won by 29, you know, in Perm, so at home, the fact that it was a 29-point blowout. I think Bosnia only scored 19 points in the second half. That was a bit of a surprise. Hungary beating the Great Britain by 19 is a little bit of a surprise. That big of a victory. Probably the biggest victory. Actually, I don't know. Might actually be the only. The only road victory of the first day of games was a really big one in Group B, with Austria knocking off Netherlands 75-72, and that could go a long way for the Austrians, who most likely are challenging for a second place in that Group B, where Germany, you would imagine, kind of takes that group and runs away with it. They beat Denmark by 27. So the fact that Austria come in and snag a road victory against the Netherlands, big victory for them. That's really the only surprise of the first day of games. Iceland getting a big 16-point victory over Switzerland, but Iceland put together a pretty nice group. And otherwise, you know that first day of games, you know Hungary beating Great Britain by that amount, you could say some people might look at that and say it's a little bit of a surprise. But you know, Adam Hanga just was tremendous in that game, 32 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Like I said, the next set of games was on the weekend on Saturday. You have to go to FIBA.com /Eurobasket /2017 /qualifiers. You can find all the information on there. And then the date that the podcast comes out will be the third group of games. Let's see, I think there's 2 more game days. Just checking really quick if the internet works adequately. Here we go. So 7 and 10. Yeah, so 10th is the Saturday. And then again on the 14th, there's another game group. And then the Saturday, the 17th, are the last set of games. So after the when the podcast comes out, will be game day 3, and then there's still 4, 5, and 6. So should be pretty I could have a good picture by the time, if you're listening to this show, maybe on Thursday, the 8th, you might be able to already have a pretty good picture of what's going on. You know, we're halfway through the group, and a bit of news came out. The players, 41 players, I believe they're 99. Yes, 99 born. Have been selected for the Basketball Without Borders Europe Camp, which will take place in Finland in Loja, from actually today, the Wednesday the 7th, until Saturday. And some pretty good names in there. Croatia have Darko Baja and Krasimir Nikic. Not quite. They're kind of up there as far as the compared to the 2000ers. Estonia have a pair. Finland have Elias Valtonen, who played really well at the under 17 World Championship. Finland actually have 5 players. The Georgian kid from, Mega. Yeah, Goga Bidatse is there. Germany have a really nice trio in Bunga, Herkenhoff, and Weidemann. The nice Italian point guard, Alessandro Paiola, is there. You also have a guy I've heard some really good things about, Michel Ebeling, also the Italian. And then you have Grantas Vasilauskas, who's Lithuania have a group of 4 going there. Vasilauskas, Velika, who is on the All-Star 5, and then Lukas Julikas, and Ignas Sargiunas. The Nice Montenegrin and Andreas Slavkovic, and then a couple of quintet, five Serbs, Nikolic, Lazar Nikolic, Andrija Marjanovic, Alex Uskoković, Nikola Miskovic, and Daniel Petrovic. And the other another good one is Onarulp Batim. Dino Radončić was supposed to go, but he's not going to be going because he's actually playing for the Montenegro national team, senior national team. Made his debut in the first game against Slovak Republic. So actually a pretty nice group of players. Would be interested in seeing how they perform there. The NBA guys who will be there will be Cole Aldrich, Jared Blalis, Spencer Hawes, Andre Miller, and Beno Udrih. So I guess Vladimir Radmanovic will be there, as will the former French international Ronny Turiaf and Hanno Matola. So a good group of players, ex-players as well. Should be a pretty good event. And again, you know, that was most of the top guys, but so should be something to watch out for. Those guys, a selection of those guys will then go to the Basketball Without Borders Global Camp, which will take place at the NBA All-Star Game, 2017 NBA All-Star Game in All-Star Weekend, I guess, will be in New Orleans, Louisiana, in February at the Smoothie King Center, that's kind of hard to say without a nice little snicker. Smoothies King Center, fantastic. I guess without further ado, then let's move on to the sort of the interviews. I set them up first. I actually a couple weeks ago went down to Munich to go to the draw for the Basketball Champions League. And being there and kind of really figured that this is a lot better competition than a lot of people are saying. You know, a lot of people were complaining about the level. You know, how can you call it Champions League? Okay, you don't have the elite of the elite of the clubs, but you do have a lot of champions. Which, you know, should be worth and is worth something. So you do have a lot of the national champions, and you do have a share of pretty good grouping of teams, so you look at a couple of the favorites. You know, you probably have to say, you know, Mega might be one of those, although they've been put in a huge group. We'll get more to that later. You actually have three Turkish teams, Beşiktaş, Banvit, and Pınar Kaşıkkale. You have Frankfurt. You have Aris and AEK, Athens. You have Asvel. You have a Spanish team, Tenerife. You have Ostend, Sabona, Sassari is another one. Partizan came over. It's actually pretty decent grouping of teams. Of course, it's not Panathinaikos, and it's not CSKA Moscow, and all these great teams. It's a pretty solid grouping of clubs, and it's definitely, I think it's going to be pretty good in competition. You know, there's a couple of two qualifying rounds to figure out the last 8 spots in the regular season. And obviously those will cut out some of the quote smaller teams, but still, you know, some pretty good teams, and I'm actually looking forward to the competition. So it's, you know, five groups of eight teams, and the five group winners and three best second place teams will go directly to the second round. And it's the four top teams from each group plus the four best fifth place teams. Four top teams from each group, four teams from the top from each group, four, and then the four best fifth ranked teams. Those 24 teams go to the playoffs. And so Final Four in April, the end of April, 28 to 30. Of April. So I wanted to, I was at the tournament draw, and had a chance to do a couple of interviews. I talked to Patrick Komnenos, that is the CEO of the Basketball Champions League. So here's my chat with him about the competition, the draw, and a bunch of other things. So enjoy that, and we'll catch you on the other side. Patrick Komnenos, we're here at the draw for the Basketball Champions League. I guess, first of all, congratulations that we have the draw behind us, and now the teams right now are actually figuring out when the schedule is going to take place and whatnot. Maybe first of all, how much relief is there that it's actually now kind of started this new basketball horizon, as you guys are calling it?
No, I think it's a fair point. We have launched, let's say, the project today. We have locked the teams, we have locked the schedule, and now we have to move into a much more operational phase where we need to start planning the visits to the teams, the visits to the different arenas they will use, and then start delivering a high quality competition that we hope the Champions League of basketball will be.
When you hear criticism about the level of the competition here, I think people would look at the bigger names of the teams that they're not here, but you look at 17 champions. When you hear criticism of the level of league, what goes through your mind?
I mean, I think there is criticisms, there is comments, there are concerns, there is a bit of everything. But there is also hope, there is also inspiration of what is happening. I think there is also a belief in the commitment that FIBA, as a 50% owner of this project, is putting on the table. Admittedly, the landscape of club competition of basketball in Europe is an environment that is sometimes difficult even for people in the sport industry to understand. There are probably too many club competitions, and this is something that needs to be addressed in the future. But from our side, as FIBA, as the let's say governing authority of the game of basketball, it was important for us to satisfy a need to have a competition whereby the best teams of the national championships are given the opportunity to participate in a European environment. So, as you mentioned, we have 17 national champions. We have representatives from 31 different countries. So, in that, we can really be proud of having a pan-European club competition of basketball.
And a competition that's more or less prepared for the FIBA windows next year, which are, probably causing quite a few headaches for quite a few clubs when you look at EuroLeague schedule, especially your league schedule, where you have sort of breaks planned. How important was it to get a new competition because of the FIBA windows, and you know, knowing that that's going to be part of there's three breaks in the year that during the season. Talk about that.
I think in FIBA's scope of responsibility lies also the international calendar, lies also the protection of the national teams, and by virtue of that, it is important to have a schedule that adheres to all these interests. I think part of the challenges that European basketball is facing right now is the need to have clarity around the calendar, to have the opportunity for the national teams to select the best players that are available. This is what playing for the country means, and this is what the fans expect to see. So I think it's important for all the stakeholders that are involved to find the proper environment whereby all these needs can be satisfied.
You were with UEFA for a few years. One of the things that you look at a UEFA Champions League game, you watch it on TV. It could take place in Turin. It could be placed in Manchester. It can take place in Munich. Really, it's the same production. I know one of the things that the BCL is covering, paying the cost for television production. How important was that? Also, knowing that it's pretty high cost for some of these smaller clubs. Let's call them smaller clubs, but not as financially sound clubs. On the one hand, but then also to produce a product which, like we said, the Champions League, UEFA Champions League, it can really take place anywhere. Just it's the high level of production. How important was that in all this?
No, I think this is important. I think the aim of the Basketball Champions League is to establish an environment where the clubs feel that, to put it simplistically, they're being taken care of, they're being promoted, they're being given an environment that is of a high professional and operational delivery. So issues like the TV production are important, and this is why we are contributing a significant amount for a high-end production. So when we talk now about 8-camera production, for instance, this is a high standard of production, never been seen at this level of the club competition from FIBA side. So this is something that we hope will allow the clubs, the fans, the general audience to understand the effort that is being made, to appreciate this effort, and to embrace, by virtue of that, this competition. The latter part of the question, which is the look and feel, as you correctly said, you enter into a Champions League stadium or you turn on your TV on a Tuesday or Wednesday at 8:45 and you know exactly that it is Champions League. This takes a bit of time. Right now, the agreement we have with the clubs is that we will retain 30% of the club inventory compared to the 100% that, for instance, UEFA retains.
Inventory meaning?
Meaning the space on the boards, meaning the space on the press conference backdrops. So, for instance, when you talk about a UEFA Champions League environment, all of this is owned by UEFA. The club partners or the club sponsors cannot appear anywhere. In our environment, because we also respect that the clubs have long-standing contracts, we are balancing this. We are retaining 30% of that inventory for our own brand, for our own promotion, but also for any central sponsors that the BCL will bring onto the table. So it's not going to be as, let's say, uniform. We have to realize that when it comes to the picture on site, but where we hope that there is going to be a significant difference is on the TV production, the TV graphics, the on-screen appearance. So if you sit at home and you watch a game, you will soon come to realize that this is a Basketball Champions League game.
I don't know if I've seen it or not. Is there any information, news about a internet platform? I mean, there's Live Basketball TV. Are the games going to be on there? Is there going to be a new product?
This is something we're working on. We are collaborating with one of FIBA's strategic partners, Perform, who is specializing on OTT or digital or this sort of environment. So from the one side, we are financing a high-end production, and then we hope that their strategic partner like Perform will pick this up and be able to deliver it at a very high standard of digital content that would make fans appreciate the environment that has been created.
And as far as all the games being on one one package, is that still something
to be discussed. It's still work in progress. From our side, what we have committed to is that all the matches of the regular season will be produced, and then this content should be made available. We just need to see now what the best mechanisms is in terms of finding the right broadcaster in the local markets, finding the right distribution, and so forth and so on. So this is a work in progress that hopefully, once the regular season kicks off, this will all be in place.
I know you probably wish you could say everything's going to be perfect, but maybe what are some of the things where you think, this might be an issue that might come up? Or, I mean, it's the first year, there's a lot of, obviously, 31 countries, things are going to come up that you can't even think of right now, even though you've dealt with plenty of problems over your years.
I think the biggest challenge right now is time. We are launching the draw in the latter part of July, and the regular season, well, the qualifying rounds start in September and the regular season in October. So there's a lot of work to be done, and inevitably there will be some hiccups, there will be some challenges at the beginning. The communication with the clubs has to become important. It has to be something that is driving this this event. The clubs also from their side need to adjust to the new environment. So there will obviously be a lot of twists and a lot of turns before we hit the proper rhythm that we expect to hit, hopefully around the regular season.
Maybe last question, because I know you have plenty to do. In general, the biggest selling points, why the European basketball fan who has so much to watch, why take in the the Basketball Champions League?
I think we have to be able to assess a little bit what is on offer. I think what the Basketball Champions League puts on the table is a true pan-European competition. So a fan in France will have an opportunity to watch four French teams, but also a fan in Estonia, a fan in Sweden, a fan in Israel, a fan in Belgium, a fan in Holland will have the opportunity to watch his own home clubs participate in this competition, starting from the qualifying round, but then making it to the regular season. We anticipate, and then we obviously have to see the results from the qualifying rounds, but in the regular season, out of the 32 teams that will make the regular season, we will probably have 20 different nationalities represented. And that, I think, caters to a very large audience. So this is something that we hope fans will appreciate. Fans throughout Europe will be able to find a link to this organization and to this competition, and hopefully embrace it the way we have.
Okay, Patrick Komnenos again, the CEO of the Basketball Champions League. Yeah, like I said, there's still work to be done, obviously, and the interview was done before, it was at the draw, and obviously since the draw you had the three teams, you had Ike, you had Partizan, you had Silona Gora, I think were the three who said we'll take part in this tournament, in this competition, instead of the Euro Cup, and so they redid their draw, I guess, if you will, and they created this fifth group, this group E, with those three teams, and then some of the other teams that were in the qualifying round. So that's how they added those teams. It's the first year, and there's a lot of dispute going on still, and everything else. So it's going to be hard to figure out exactly, what it's going to look like after this year. And they're going to be, going through this entire season, and they'll, I'm sure things will have to be figured out. I think, it's everything's in place now, and they're ready to start the qualifying games. The first games of the qualification are on the 27th, 27th and 29th are the qualifiers, and then next round is the 4th and 6th of October, and then the regular season is going to tip off on October 19th. So, within 6 weeks, about 6 weeks or so, we'll have the Basketball Champions League regular season started. So, last interview of the week. Had a chance to talk to the general manager of Megalex, Goran Sakic. And had a chance to, address, Mega have done quite a few things, have had some guys drafted in the NBA now, You know, are really turning into a developmental team, but also have high aspirations. And like we said before, they're in a really tough group with Strasbourg, Avellino, Tenerife, Ostend, Cibona, and then either Bosnian. I can't remember where the other one's from. Ijepo or Mornar, and then Porto or Juventus are the other. So two qualifying teams, still a pretty tough, darn tough group. So I had a chance to talk to him about that. Again, Goran Čakić. Hopefully I was more or less okay with that name. Enjoy that. And again, we'll talk to you on the other side.
We're here at the draw for the Basketball Champions League. We have Group D with Strasbourg, Avellino, Tenerife, Ostend, Cibona. You guys, Megalex, possibly a German team, and what was the other one?
Besiktas.
Let's call it fun. A fun first adventure into European basketball. Your thoughts about the draw first?
Yes, for our team, which is young, this is our new step. First time to play in Europe. This group is very strong, but it's good for us to have strong games. We can say also that even that this is EuroLeague group, because we have 3-14, they played EuroLeague 2-3 years ago. We are honored to be contesting the beginning, like let's say at the beginning of creation, something new, creating something new league and one new project. And I hope that we're gonna do our best, and like we do in Adriatic League and our home league, that we are make some new fresh team that we're gonna help the league improve and to be better.
How good is it for this team for this club that's emerging? How good is it for this club to be able to take part in a European competition, and then also to be tested? You know, you guys have high aspirations in general, and then you see where you are, really.
Yes, we are a young team. Everybody knows that we have young talents, young prospects who we develop. This is really a question mark for us, because this is first time we play Europe. This is much more games and much more traveling, and we need to adapt to make for players easier and to leave some mark even this season, first season in Europe, to show what we show already last year in Adriatic League, what we show in Serbian League. It's good question, because really it's, like I say, also for us new step to play, and we are really exciting to see how it's going to look.
You look at the names of the clubs before the tournament, before the draw, and you said, you know, Mega is actually a team that has a chance to win this. Now in this group, it's a totally different dynamic. But in general now, okay, you know who's going to be in your group. You know who's in your group, more or less. Okay, we the qualifiers, but what are the expectations now? And maybe also how they've changed in the matter of an hour.
It's like every team, I suppose. We had our wishes or our expectation about teams we're going to play with. This is a really strong group, but that's it. It's, one way it's good, because this is all strong, good teams, and it's good for us to have strong games. But we're going to see, we're going to give a maximum. We are the youngest team, and we're going to try to do something. This is Strasbourg, okay. It's early for teams. I don't know what they make for this season, but these names they're going to make for sure. Great teams like Strasbourg, like Ostend, they have also always good team. Besiktas, if they qualify, but they have most chances to qualify for the regular season. They're always good. We have Cibona, we know them. That's gonna be not too long trip, and that's it. It's really strong group, but we have what to show. That's for sure.
How much is now? You know this. You knew whatever you were gonna be playing before. Are you playing Adriatic still, or
we are playing?
Yeah. So you have Adriatic. You have this now. How much does this change as far as roster construction? You're gonna go back out and look for a different caliber of player, or I know the draw just ended, but you know, just as far as initial reaction.
Yes, but now our principle is to have young prospect, young talents, and we will not change that matter. But with much more traveling, we're gonna adjust way of practicing, and we're gonna have less time for practice what we had before and what was our goal number one. And now we're gonna adjust to have more space, to find space to practice and to develop these young guys like we developed through Adriatic League, to develop with one more step that is very strong this year, Champions League, what is much stronger than last 6-7 years for sure.
You can say that, you know, they said there's 17 champions in Europe. You know, this is the first time that this competition is starting. Your thoughts about the competition in general?
Yes, I'm very excited. I like how it looks, and it's much stronger than anybody thought.
Just look at your group.
Like before 2 months, because they used, unfortunately, on FIBA League last 5-6 years, there were not so big names of teams, but now you have Turkish, Banit Kashiafa who played EuroLeague, you have French teams, you have Italian teams, it's much stronger. It's like level of even bigger than EuroCup.
Your thoughts about June 25th, I guess it was, when three more mega guys got drafted. You know, what do you think about that as far as the club goes, having the guys, you know, that basically there is a little bit of recognition also that the club is able to produce high-level talent?
Yes, we are proud of that fact that this is second year that we produce three guys on the draft that nobody never did before. Even first year when we had three, that also happens only to two other teams, but now we are the only one and we are very proud, and this is, don't not be too honest, it's a big result, and we're going to try to put this Champions League FIBA also like one way to represent the young guys and to help them to make even better position.
That is more motivation for them to come to you guys even?
Of course. This two drafts in a row, it's also motivation and way how we work and how we develop, but this is for sure one reason more to come and to have good season and good opportunity.
I want to ask about one guy. I live in Germany and we see at the Germany at the under 20 European Championship, Costa Mushidi is playing really well. He's expected to be one of the leaders of the German favorites.
Yes.
What do you think about him coming in? You know, went to France last year and really wasn't able to play first division. Thoughts about him coming in? Pretty highly regarded talent in Germany.
Yes, Mushidi was here before 2 months, 4 days, 5 days with us to know the city, to see the team, to see the town, and he signed for us, and we have good, big expectation from him. He have big expectation from himself, and we know that this is the right place for him to develop after this season in Strasbourg, where he didn't have a chance. Let's be honest, and he played great now for Germany, and we are waiting him until he finishes like 10 of August, and he will come with us, and he will. It's planned to have big space, and now it's up to him to use that
on the right way,
like last year, Timo Kilovavu, like Zagoras, like now already.
But he has a chance.
Yes,
but he has a chance.
For sure, he will have a chance.
Last question: I'm a youth basketball guy, and you know, we saw Mega at the Adidas Next Generation, where they struggled. They didn't get a victory in Berlin, but you had the under-17s win the championship. Under-19s, did they? Can't remember if they ended up winning or not.
Third place.
No,
but the, point is
but like the first time that they won the championship at 17s. Thoughts about the kids, and you know, there's some more coming up.
Yes, the point is like we asked for junior 19 and for Berlin when we show some game. But the point is that our kids are younger 1 or 2 years in that moment. That is everybody know that is big difference, especially in that age. That means this generation who are playing now becoming the best one, and we expect a lot of them from them. Like everybody know that you cannot search and find players that easy anymore, and we have.
You need to develop
even
your own
from
guys.
PC, we make one more selection of pioneers. Because big faith and big work now will bring total different structure and coach for young selection, and we are expecting that coming back to us even in 2 years when they gonna be ready for first team.
Cheer with that.
Okay. So I guess. I guess that's it. Again, 208 episodes, 4 years. Absolutely amazing. That's still going, and you know, there's still the interest out there. I appreciate when people come to me and say, hey, like the show, enjoy it, and, you know, keep going. Would be great, like I mentioned before, would be great if you can go out and support the show, and keep it alive. And so without further ado, I'll let you know the song you're listening to at the end. And I will talk to you again then in a week. The song is called Dead Fish on the Banks, and it is by The Good Night Loving. So, and that is available on freemusicarchive.org. Enjoy the week of basketball. There's not loads of it. There will be two game days of Eurobasket 2017 qualifiers. I know some of the clubs will actually be, some of the domestic leagues will be starting up with friendlies, exhibition games. Yeah, we're starting to back up. We had a short little window of no basketball, but definitely getting right on with hoops, and before I know it, the international basketball scene will be, the continental basketball games will be on, and then shortly after that, NBA and whatnot. So not too much longer before we'll be seeing loads of stuff. But we'll save that for down the road. Next week, talk to you again. Enjoy, and thanks again.
Kindergroup in Regensburg,
and you are listening to
Taking the Charge.